Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello and welcome to Tender Loving Care with your host, myself, Pauline, and my darling, Kate. Every week, Kate and I break down a show from the TLC network. The name of the network that I believe for the longest time was an acronym for Tender Loving Care. And when I found out that it actually stood for the Learning Channel and I saw the types of shows that are on that channel, my deep confusion bred this podcast. Each week, Kate and I will randomly select a show to cover for the next episode by spinning our wheel of shame, which has only the trashiest of trash TLC and Discovery Plus shows that we will be studying. Hi, Kay. Nope. Now, I don't know, guys, if you have listened to Monday's episode. Was it Monday? Tuesday? I'm losing track of time. Monday's episode. Little bit of update and housekeeping. Kate is in the process of moving. So she has a ton of stuff to get going and it's a cross-country move. So it's a really, really big, stressful time. So she said if I could hold down the fort for a while, I obviously accepted, because what more do I love than talking to all of you about all of these shows? So I said, absolutely. So for the next couple of weeks, it's going to be Kate maybe popping in. Otherwise, it's going to be myself. And I do have some really good guests lined up, one of which is coming on this week to discuss the Ashley Simpson show. Yes, the Ashley Simpson show. So we have some really, really fun things coming up. So I just wanted to let you know about that. Guys, I kind of want to get straight into this show because I have so much to talk about. The Wheel of Shame last week picked Ghost Adventures. I was calling it Ghost Hunters the entire week. But anyway, Ghost Adventures. Now, I definitely knew this show. It has been on for all of time, all of history. And it is hosted by Zach Baggins. It's him and like three other guys that go and hunt ghosts. Let me read the synopsis and then we're going to get into the show. But let me just say I was extremely excited. Paranormal investigator Zach Baggins leads his team of co-investigators Nick Groff and Aaron Goodwin at haunted locations both in America and abroad, interviewing locals about alleged hauntings before going face-to-face with supernatural entities. Each hour-long episode follows Baggins, Groff, and Goodwin as they work to uncover the paranormal mysteries, and after piecing together the haunted history of each site, the team holds a dusk-to-dawn lockdown in an effort to obtain physical evidence of the paranormal and discover the truth. Woo! Now, I've definitely watched it before, so I knew of him, and I discussed with Kate when this came up in the Wheel of Shame. Genuinely, I really like him, and I'll tell you why. When this show first came out, I remember watching it, And he looked like, I know he was based in Vegas, which I think he still is. I believe he was at this time as well. And he just looked very much like a Vegas club promoter. You know, he had like gelled spiked up hair. He wore Affliction t-shirts, like, and he had like black, very distinct, like black, thick black, early 2000s rimmed glasses. And I just always thought, you know, watching it, I was like, oh, look at the state of him and all this. He's going to be an idiot. But he has actually got the driest sense of humor, and he's very self-deprecating, and he loves ghosts. What can I say? So I honestly love this guy so much. So when this came out, I was like, you know, I want to go back to the beginning. So we chose season 1, episode 3. Now, guys, when I say this has been on forever, it has 27 seasons. 27 seasons of this show. And Zach is like a big star. I mean, he, I remember he was dating, I mentioned this before, he was dating Holly Madison for a while. But he has a haunted museum in Vegas, which I am desperate to go to. I can't believe I haven't been. I live in LA, it's not that far. But I'm going to go to that this year. I have to. It's the haunted museum. He owns that, and it has like items from serial killers and supposedly haunted possessions and things like that. And then I discussed about him. I thought he bought the LaBianca house, which was the people that were the couple that was murdered a couple of nights after Sharon Tate in 1969 by the Manson family. That's a house in LA that's still standing, and it went up for sale. And if you listen to last week's episode, I recall how I tried to get a showing in the house when I found out it was up for sale. But that did not go according to plan. But I heard that he bought it. I don't know if he still does. I really hope he does. Anyway, so I just love him. So I wanted to go old school, so going to this first season. And I mean, honestly, watching this, I can't tell you, like, I finished watching this and started making a ton of notes about how I can produce my own ghost, like what angle I could take on ghosts that hasn't already been done, create a sizzle reel, sell it to Discovery Plus. Then I'll be on TV and then doing a podcast reviewing my show on Discovery. I think that would be perfect. Full circle moment. But he genuinely has my dream job. I mean, he really does. I have, after this, of course, I started doing a deep dive on him. And you really can't get much information on how he ever got to this point. I mean, it's not, he doesn't have a big history of production. He doesn't have a history of, you know, hosting or anything like that. And then suddenly he's just on this show and it blows up and it does so well. And he's been doing it for 27 seasons. So you know that he was like, he was brought up in, he was born in DC, in Washington, DC, raised in Illinois, graduated high school, and that's it. I really don't know anything else about him. And then suddenly he has this channel, this show that originally aired on the Sci-Fi Channel. And it's just been a massive, massive success since 2004. Wow. You know, and I'm thinking about like, what are his qualifications? Because guys, I have been in so many graveyards in my life, and not just due to tragic circumstances, but I was brought up that when we traveled, the first place we'd go in a village would be the graveyard. I spent hours traipsing around graveyards. I say traipsing, but I mean enjoying. My parents took me to them. It's history. And I always loved the macabre. I always loved the dark. And so it was just like a home from home for me. It really was going to graveyards. I've been to every new city I'll go to, from Père Lachaise in Paris, which where Oscar Wilde, Jimi Hendrix are buried, Edith Piaf buried, all the way to Hollywood Forever in Los Angeles. Every graveyard in between, I will go to. So you know what? I need my own show, guys. So this episode's, they are investigating a old shut down penitentiary in Moundsville, West Virginia. Yeah. So it starts off, it's brilliant how it starts off. It's a voiceover with Zach. And he says, I never believed in ghosts until I came face to face with one. Now, I'm sorry, that actually had too much emotion, because this is genuinely how it's read. I never believed in ghosts until I came face to face with one. That's the level of his narration, and I love it. So it's him, Nick, and Aaron, just the three of them that are going to do this lockdown from dusk till dawn. And you see clips of what he's done before, like throughout the season and stuff. And there's just one scene of him shouting, "If this is the portal of hell, come on down and get us." He antagonizes all these spirits constantly. So I don't think that's a great idea, but it's been working for him since 2004. So I guess it does. But the stuff he does, it's just a lot of, as you can imagine, the shouting at spirits, running, lots of night vision, lots of shaky cameras, lots of, "What was that? Did you hear that? It's really cold. I just got super cold. Do you get the goosebumps? I think someone touched me." There's a lot of that. Okay. As we know, we've done these types of shows before, but this really is like the MVP. So we see they go out during the day. They're going to Moundsville, West Virginia. It's on the Ohio River. And what I loved is they're in their car, they're driving, and they're using a physical map. And I can't tell you how much I appreciated that. I loved that. I was like, good for you. Simpler times, guys, simpler times. So then they go to this penitentiary, and it is massive. It was ranked in the top 10 most violent prisons. Men were executed there, they were hanged, they were electrocuted, they were murdered, they were decapitated, there were suicides. It was an extremely violent prison. And what is so weird is the layout of it. It's a Victorian style building, and it's so big. And then just like, and it's got the big fence around it, and then, but it's in the middle of like a residential street. It's so strangely built, or I guess what was built around it later. It's about 119, 120 years old at this point. But it's very odd, very, very odd. So they start filming, they've got their cameras out, and they're speaking to ex-guards that claimed they saw shadow men. They would, you know, they'd think someone had escaped, but it hadn't. It was just shadows. We saw, and, you know, there was there were ex-inmates they spoke to. There were people that had served time there. Don't worry, we are going to get through to Red. We are going to get to Redbone, who was an ex-convict and ex-resident of this penitentiary. But they're speaking to a lot of people, and some of these guards were saying, one guy was like, "On my first day, I had to cut someone down from a suicide." Like, awful. Just so much death and so much violence. So they're kind of going around and they're talking to all these different people. And then they're kind of going around, they got the camera, and then you just see, it closed in 1995. Okay. And they said that 998 men died there. So they're like, "It's so strange how all these houses are there. Let's just go and knock on them." So Zach and the teams just start randomly knocking on all of these doors. Okay. And they go to one, and there's a woman that opens the door, and she's like, "Oh, hi." And he's like, "Yeah, we're just filming, you know, about this penitentiary. Do you have any stories?" And immediately she was like, "Yeah, I saw an apparition." And she explains it down in the boiler room. Sorry, what were you doing in the boiler room? I think that this isn't like open abandoned land. Like, it is all still locked up. And she was just like, "Yeah, I was down there, and we saw people, we saw shadows and apparitions and all this stuff." And I'm thinking, how did she get down there? And why was she there? Then we go to, he knocks on another door, and there's a man, very elderly, I would say probably 80s, quite frail looking. So he opens the door, and he stood there, and Zach goes, "Hi, we're just here filming, and we're going to be recording you and just asking questions from residents about the penitentiary." Then the man collapses. Okay, I'm not kidding you. He was stood up straight and he collapsed, not like bent knees, fell on his bottom. He fell like horizontally, like boom, like a plank of wood falling down. And Zach like looks at the camera, he's like, "Whoa, whoa, whoa." And then he goes in to like help him up. And this man, I thought this man could have just cracked his head open. And he's like, "Oh, I don't have much balance." And then he just sits him down on his chair. I was like, what? Okay. Thank God he was right. Anyway, he said that he had worked there as well. And he was captured in the riot. There was a really big riot at the prison. And so we get his story. We get other guards that talk about the riot and saying, you know, I'm still in therapy 20 something years later from it. I had a knife at my throat. I thought they were going to decapitate me. Other guards are saying, you know, we were down there and where the gallows were, because they used to hang people there, the gallows doors just suddenly swung open as though someone had just been hanged. It's nuts. Then we meet Redbone. Now, this car pulls up as they're filming on this street, right? And it's this red, I don't know anything about cars, but this red car pulls up and the guy's got on his, you know, got on his little, I don't know what you even call them, like a vest thing, sleeveless kind of shirt thing. And he says, pulls up and he's like, hey, what are you guys doing? And they tell them, and he's like, I was in there. And they were like, what, can you pull over? So he pulls over. We find out this guy is called Tom Redbone Richards. Everyone calls him Redbone. He was in this prison from 1966 to 1983. Yeah. And as he's casually telling us that he was in prison for that long, he's just spitting into a cup that, like, backy stuff, you know, chew. Anyway, I was like, oh, this guy's going to be good. So they talked to him. They said, well, would you be willing to come in and, like, walk through it again? And he's like, yeah, I'll come through. So he parks. And then Zach starts talking about, there's a voiceover of Zach going, this place is a great recipe for trapped. I wrote this down because it was just so good. It's a great recipe for trapped souls and a lot of evil souls that I can't wait to provoke. Now, I have a little bit of a problem with him wanting to constantly provoke these spirits that he says have done physical harm to people, because we have guards that said I was grabbed, I have all of these things. So we get Redbone. Redbone is getting walked into this prison that he spent, 18, 19 years of his life in. And he said it was the most violent place on earth. That's how he described it. And he said, he was locked up for 17 years. And Redbone's guiding them. And he's going through, he goes, this was the, you know, mess hall or whatever. And then up here, this is where the guards would watch us. And then he casually says, which I put on our Instagram, by the way, go and check out this clip on our Instagram, which is Tender Loving Care Podcast. He goes, yep, I saw a guy down there get cooked in a pot of beans. Zach goes, sorry. He goes, yep, pot of beans. It was, I think it was during the riot. Yeah, it was during the riot. And he said the guy was a rat and he was a telltale on people. And so he saw the guy, three guys opened the lid of this massive pot of beans, threw this man in there, put the lid on, stood on it. And then they said the flesh fell. Oh no, they said they cooked him till his meat fell off. Anyway, moving on to the next. That's what they said. And then Zach, because we love when Zach comes in. So this guy's like dead serious, obviously telling this horrific story. He goes, and you know, cooked him till his meat fell off. And so Zach just pauses and said, so it's more like pork and beans then. And the guy goes, no, I think it was just like black beans. I kid you not. You have to go and watch this clip on our Instagram. It is too good. But yeah, that's the type of stuff that was happening there, guys. It's so violent. We see this guy called Tom Stiles, who is the internal coordinator of the penitentiary. So it's all shut down and it's just sat there. So I don't know what he does. I mean, he was locking it up and opening it up. So it's a secure facility still. I wonder if they keep it and maybe they do tours of it. I don't know. He said he has been grabbed. There's this area called the Sugar Shack, which was at the bottom of the prison. And yeah, he said that people were grabbed. He said somebody there was decapitated. He said he saw a lot of apparitions down there. Anyway, back to Redbone. What Zach decides to do with this man, who is now probably, I would say he's probably in his like mid to late 60s. They decide to take him back to his cell that he was originally in. And guys, this cell was so small. And he said, this is where I spent my entire time. And he said, I prayed in here to get out. And that was a ceiling I looked at every day. I mean, it was 6 foot by 6 foot or something. I'm not kidding. It was terrifying to look at. So he's going through all this complete trauma while Zach is just like, filming him. Redbone then takes us to another cell where he said, oh, this was one of my best friends. He starts to get very emotional. And he said, this is where he was murdered, in this cell. He said, and we had a lot of good times together. And he said, this is where he was. And I still remember hearing him say, don't kill me, don't kill me. And it's just like this pause. And then he goes, but you know, Ray did kill about 5 or 6 people in here. So Ray, who was his best friend, killed 5 or 6 people in that prison. And Redbone goes, but it's prison. You got to do what you got to do. And then recounts this story about him getting murdered. It's a lot. And then Redbone just says, this is all too much for me. So then they kind of pat him on the back and they lead him out of the prison. I really hope someone threw him some bucks, because to put him through this utter emotional turmoil again of revisiting his cell that was pure torture, going to the room where his best friend was murdered, and then they're just like, all right, thanks so much, it'll be on the sci-fi network in a few weeks. You know, I really hope Redbone's doing okay, and B, got some money for this, because he really was the heart.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Highlight. So now they're setting up to start the investigation. So it's the three of them. They get locked in until dawn. Everything is pitch black. They don't even have flashlights, or they have them, but they use them in emergencies only. So all they can see is they just watch everything through their cameras, through night vision. So they can see on like the LED screen what's going on in front of them, but that's it. It's pitch black. And I'm thinking, you should have seen this place. It's an old Victorian building. I was like, one of them is going to fall off a staircase. There's no way these guys are going to, like, what are they doing? What kind of safety precautions are any of them taking? Because someone's going to fall off a staircase. Nope, pitch black. Then Zach decides, as always, it's a good idea to provoke the spirits. So you have this shot of him just screaming, come on, you old convicts, come on, come get me. I'm the new warden in here. This is what he's shouting to himself in the pitch black in this penitentiary. I am the new warden in town. Come on, I'm in charge. Like, all of this. And then of course, we get the EMF meters. That's the magnetic frequency. We get the temperatures dropping. And then we get EVP readings. Now, EVP is very, very powerful. It's electronic voice phenomenon. And people believe that, you know, you will ask, it will pick up things, spirits' voices that you can't necessarily hear. So you'll ask questions, record, play it back, and then hear responses. So you see them kind of going around, and you do have a clock. It's like, you know, 7 p.m., 9 p.m., midnight, 3 a.m. And they're going around and they're just getting very, you know, this, oh, really cold. I think I saw something. Unfortunately, they didn't capture it. But they did capture it. There were a couple of things that they actually did capture. So there is a shot that they took of Nick when they were setting everything up. And there is some, like, they described it as like glowing eyes in the background in this photo. There is something there. I don't know. It looked like a light. That's what I thought it was, but it wasn't. So they said it looked like glowing eyes. There was something in that photo. Then they had a static camera, and that did capture odd noises. There was shuffling. There was a distinct shouting. It was like you couldn't hear you couldn't make out the words, but it was a muffled kind of, all of this, right? That's what you kind of heard. Then I thought, are they sure they weren't just capturing Zach on the other floor shouting, come on, you old convicts? I don't know. They didn't go into that, but you heard that. Then they decide to leave Nick in this place called the Sugar Shack, where someone was beheaded, to like work on his own and record. And before that, Zach comes in and just antagonizes all the spirits again. So he's shouting at them, screaming at them, blah, blah, blah. And then he's like, all right, peace out, and leaves. We see that the only kind of other thing that they really get this whole time, they get to 3 a.m. and of course 3 a.m. is the witching hour. And there's one shot where Zach is talking and it's very much like, did you hear that? Did you hear that noise? Did you hear that? And you can see his breath starts to appear. So there's obviously been a massive drop of temperature and his breath starts to, you can see his breath in the cold. So I don't know. It's very, very, that's a little bit like, oh, okay, that's interesting. Then the last real big piece of like evidence is that they have an EVP, okay? And it was recorded while Zach was alone, probably shouting at the Sugar Shack. And in the Sugar Shack, and he records a voice that you can make out say, I'll kill you. It's odd. It's definitely odd. I'll tell you that. They replay that a couple of times to get the money's worth. But you do hear it. It says, I'll kill you. And you're like, I definitely heard something. Then it's 6:40 and they leave. I mean, it was so anticlimactic at the end, because I thought what they did, and I think they do this in later seasons, this was just the first season, but I thought they were going to then have a scene where they review the footage to see if there was anything they missed, but they didn't. You just see them packing everything up at 6:40 a.m., yawning and leaving, and then Zach's voiceover saying, we definitely know for sure this place holds a lot of secrets, or something like that, and the show ends. So, like I say, it was the early days of this, but I'm pretty sure that in the later 27 other seasons, or 26 other seasons, that they do this kind of scene where they review things, and there's things they may have missed, and so you see them discovering that they replay all the EVPs and things like that, but that I think comes at a later date. I mean, I love this show. Like, I really love this show. I love him. I think that I'm definitely going to keep watching. I hadn't watched it in years, so going back and watching this again, I was like, God, this actually was really good. I mean, you have to get past the shaky, camera footage, the constant, did you feel that? Did you hear that? But not really capturing anything. There's a lot of that. And the fact is that they've been able to carry on for 20 plus years doing this is a miracle. So we started to like do a little bit of, you know, as much research as I kind of had time for into this, and you know, this guy has done so much. I mean, I'm talking about Zach Bagans, even though we've no idea where he came from. So he's obviously got this show which keeps going, and then, you know, it has been accused a lot of fakery, as most of these, you know, paranormal shows have done. So he's faced a lot of controversy with that. There's also another controversy is that he was recording an episode in the Oasis Motel in Las Vegas in a room, I think it was room 20, where, now this is a big throwback, in 1999, an actor called David Strickland, he was on NBC's Suddenly Susan. And I remember getting Suddenly Susan randomly in England. I think Kathy Griffith was on that, I think. Yeah, it was a workplace comedy, but it was actually pretty good. And then I remember seeing an In Memoriam, and it was one of the young actors had gone to Vegas and killed himself. It was really shocking and really sad. And apparently Zach Baggins was filming in the room that he killed himself in, did an EVP, and got a recording of a voice that he believes is David Strickland saying, "Look to the Lord." And then apparently he uses this recording on a track on an album. Apparently he's a musician and has an album called Necrofusion. I don't know what it is. I didn't look into that. But that is apparently what he recorded, and he believed that was the voice of David Strickland. Of course, it hasn't been proven or anything like that, but it said, "Look to the Lord." It was very, very eerie. He also ended up, you know, he's got this museum, as I said, that has some really, really interesting stuff on it, his haunted museum. He has 33 rooms with like artifacts, dolls, serial killers like vans and all, a load of stuff. Let me see what else he has here. So then he had another show. He had Deadly Possessions, which was a show. He had, you know, he's also written a, well, published a book, Book Hunting for Dummies. That's great. Book Hunting. Ghost Hunting for Dummies. You know, he created this show that became massive, and he's capitalized it. I mean, he is obviously a smart cookie. Like, he took this and ran with it. And I think he's done, like, ridiculously well for himself. But it's just really strange that you can't find a lot about him. Well, maybe he's paranormal himself. Ooh! But now he lives, yeah, like I say, lives in Vegas, has this hotel, has this museum, which I definitely want to go and visit. And this show keeps going. I mean, they were filming it as of 2023. So they're going to have a new season out. Like, where, and they go all over the world. That's the thing. Even in the first season, they went to Scotland, they went to Edinburgh. It's fascinating. It really is. And it's just, I think he's done a lot of producing and things like that as well. So I don't know. I really like him, and I love this show. I think it is, it really is, when it comes to like background shows, we cover a lot of these shows that we call like laundry shows. So you're folding your laundry and you need something on, and you want something on in the background that's kind of, you know, amusing or interesting. This is at the top, top, top level of background shows. And I say background just purely because it is repetitive. You know, if you watch one, you've watched a good percentage of every single episode of 27 seasons, because it's all night vision. Like I say, it's the, "Did you hear that? I feel cold. I think there's someone behind us." But he definitely has this very, very understated, dare I say, charisma, charm. He's witty, he's deadpan, and I don't think he takes himself so seriously as one would believe he does. And that's why I think it works. So out of £600, we rate every single show we do from 0 to 600 to £600 of learning from, of course, the biggest TLC show, no pun intended, My £600 Life. So if we're going to rate this from 0 to 600, I am without a doubt giving this 550. I mean, it is the perfect show when it's October the 1st, you have on constantly in your house. When you have people over to carve pumpkins, you have this on in the background. It's amazing. I mean, I I really do love it. So I'm sure if you're listening, you've watched this before. If not, do yourself a favor. Start at season one. I mean, do it. It's brilliant. It really is great. So yeah, that's what I'm going to give it for this week. But we do need to pick a show for next week, guys. So I have to return to the Wheel of Shame. So what we're going to do is we're going to head over to the Wheel of Shame. And we are going to see what show we can get for next week. All right, let's head on over. Oh, here we are. Here we are. We are at the Wheel of Shame. And just to remind you the kind of stuff that we have on the Wheel of Shame, we have Houdini's Last Secrets, Yeti Massacre, Fatal Vows, Mysteries at the Museum, Sin City ER, Mean Girl Murders, Our America with Lisa Ling, Anthony Bourdain, Sin City, ER, I've already said that. There's a lot going on this, on the Wheel of Shame. So there are some interesting ones. I felt really happy getting into the spooky mood. I would like another spooky show. I do feel like that because even though in LA the sun is starting to come out now and it's getting a tad warmer during the day, I like to feel that Halloween-y feel. So let's spin the wheel and see what we can get. All right, 3, 2, 1, spin. Round and round she goes. Where she stops, nobody knows. There you go. That's a little jingle I wrote by myself, guys. So thank you so much for all the accolades I will receive from it. All right, the Wheel of Wheel of Shame chose something that is so on par. Once again, the Wheel of Shame listens to us. It gives us what we need. And it gave us celebrity ghost stories. That is perfect. I mean, we do have quite a few, like, ghost stuff on here. But to get celebrity ghost stories, love, love, love. Okay, perfect. So that's what we have for next week, celebrity ghost stories. I'll see how many there are and which celebs they have on there. I'm really hoping this is the show that has Fairuza Balk on it, who all of us know was obviously very well known from, she was a child actress, but also very well known for The Craft. Because I remember watching a show, if it is, we're doing her episode. I remember watching a show about celebrity hauntings or something. So it's very actually likely it's this show. And she was featured on it. And she spoke about obviously the influence of The Craft. And she had an occult store here in LA that I used to go to. It was called, just went out of my head. What was it called? It was on Cahuenga Boulevard in Hollywood. It was on Hollywood and Cahuenga. And it was called, I'm going to have to Google this while I'm on here. It was, honestly, people thought that it was, she bought it after The Craft, but the store, the occult apothecary that she had, that they go to in The Craft is really, really similar to this store's layout. It was amazing. I used to go there like all the time, and it did shut, unfortunately. But man, it was so cool. And she owned it. Let me see here. Fairuza Balk shop. It was called relationship with a cult shop. Fairuza Balk. Oh, this is interesting. Entertainment Weekly. It's from 2017. Fairuza Balk shuts down those witch rumors. She's true stories. I found this occult shop in LA I used to go to. They were really lovely. And they need, okay, this is how, this is a really interesting, this is a whole story about her buying this shop. I'm trying to find the name of it. I'm so sorry, guys, but this is going to drive me nuts. Pan Pipes, that's what it was called. All right, finally. It was called Pan Pipes. It was on Cahuenga and Hollywood. And it says here that she bought it like after The Craft. Anyway, the reason I mention all of this is because I remember watching a show and she was on it and she started to tell about her story with hauntings and how she lived in Venice and she would open the door and there would just be like 15 cats at her door. All these animals kept coming to her. Fascinating. I remember seeing it and it was amazing. I think it might actually be this show. But I will let you know if it is. We're going to do her episode. Otherwise, I will put it on our Instagram, which is Tender Loving Care Podcast. Go and give us a follow if you have not. I also want to ask, and there's loads of ways to support the pod, right? Obviously, listening is number one. So thank you, thank you, thank you. Popping into, as you're listening to this right now, whatever you're up to, whatever you're doing, leaving us 5 stars and a review is actually so helpful. And we never really talk about it a lot on the pod. I mean, trust me, I know we plug other stuff, but we never really talk about that. But it's really, really helpful for the algorithms and all this stuff for Spotify and for iTunes, wherever you listen to this right now. If you have just 4 minutes to quickly go and give us 5 stars and then just write like 2 lines of a review, it helps so much, guys. If you're able to do that, thank you, thank you, thank you. If you've already done it, thank you, thank you, thank you. And then obviously in our show notes, there is a link for our Patreon. Our Patreon has hours and hours and hours of extra content that is not released here. So you can go there and listen to us deep dive documentaries about bizarre deaths, cults, murders, unsolved crimes. What else have we got on there? We have hauntings, poltergeists. We did our whole deep dive documentaries. So we publish there every other week. What else do I need to plug? That's it, really. We have our TikTok, which is the same Tender Loving Care Podcast. What else do we have? You can email us at tenderlovingcarepod@gmail.com. We respond to every single email you send us and every single DM. I'm always on those DMs writing back to you guys to say how much I love you and you are just a dreamboat for supporting us. So thank you. I'm going to be back, like I say, on Friday with a very, very special episode. It's available to everybody and it is going to be with a very, very funny, talented, amazing person that I think all of you already follow on Instagram. She's hilarious. She is obsessed with pop culture, early 2000s. So I reached out to her and I said, listen, would you be interested in covering the Ashley Simpson show with me? And she said, yes, I would absolutely love to. And so I have been watching way too much Ashley Simpson and kind of just very wrapped up in the early 2000s right now. Listen to Ashley Simpson music. It's been a lot. Ryan Cabrera and his hair is going to haunt me to the end of my days. But she is going to be on our show on Friday. And I cannot wait. So just to give you, am I going to tell you who it is? That's the thing. I don't know if I'm telling you right now who it is. I'll probably put it on our Instagram tomorrow. I think that's what I'll do. But it's going to be fabulous. So please join us for that. I'll also be doing our Bravo recap because we have the last, we have the third part of the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills reunion. Now, are we going to get any revelations from Kathy? I hope so. Listen, we're all wanting Kyle to just tell us she's with Morgan Wade in this episode. That would be great if she did. It would be great if she finally was on there and said, you know, this is what I will say now. Yes, we are together. It would be great. Do I think it's going to happen? Probably not. But we will be watching. We'll be talking about it on Friday. So once again, thank you so much for joining us. Don't have spooky dreams after this, but do go and watch Ghost Adventures because it's amazing. I love you all. And I will be back with you on Friday. Bye-bye.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.